Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Stynie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, welcome back. Congratulations, Daryl the Guru Johnson, on his Jeopardy win. Also, don't forget, tomorrow at 12:30, we will be giving away a pair of Steph Curry's new shoes. He's got shoes dropping tomorrow. We're going to have a pair. We're going to give them away to a lucky listener tomorrow at 12:30 tomorrow for a chance to win Steph Curry's new shoes.
Curry!
Also, check out 957thegame.com or any of our social media accounts, and check out the latest video featuring Joe Shasky and the GOAT, Jerry Rice. We're going to tell you how to elevate your tailgate. It's brought to you by Gold Bar Whiskey, the official whiskey of the San Francisco 49ers, and GOAT Fuel, clean energy packed for performance. So that's a couple things for you to check out. Talking about the Golden State Warriors, they win last night. They beat the Spurs 121-99. The Knicks are in tonight. And the one thing, guys, they've gotten, we haven't talked about it a lot, where they've gotten a lot better, Dibs, since the beginning of the year, is at the defensive end. They have actually been, I think, improving since day one defensively. And last night, I mean, look, at Spurs were 4-for-33 from three-point range. That doesn't happen by accident.
No, and it's as simple as challenging shooters at a greater rate. And that's what I've seen just from the naked eyes in the half court, guys getting out and challenging three-point shooting. Rotations have been better. And also the transition defense as it pertains to the three ball has been better as well. And I think last night's numbers are a little bit skewed because San Antonio's not a great shooting team. If you look across at just pure shooting from distance, especially with DeMar DeRozan in foul trouble for the majority of the first half. So you played good D, but you also caught the Spurs on a bad shooting night.
And you know what, Stynie? I hear you talking, Dibs. But at the end of the day, I know this is one of the worst rebounding, if not the worst rebounding team in the league. But I think back to that Laker game, and I think back to the Clippers. Yeah, they came back, but it wasn't just offense that brought them back. It was defense. So maybe the numbers weren't telling us that this team was, you know, headed in the right direction defensively. But they've had something in their back pocket for a little while. And, again, you look at Wiggins and Oubre, Wiseman and Draymond, Steph holding his own. I guess where I'm going is there's no reason this team shouldn't be able to get after it. And they were closing out on those three-point shots last night, or it just looked that way because San Antonio was god-awful.
Yeah, Dibs, you're right on the money with the three-point shooting last night. I'm looking at Anthony Slater's Twitter feed. He's a 95.7 The Game insider. Listen to this. He says, first-month stats can swing wildly. The Spurs went 4-for-33 from three-point range last night, and the Warriors' three-point defense went from 23rd to 12th. Wow. 23rd to 12th. So right now they went from one of the worst defensive teams to one of the best, better defensive teams. Let's take a listen to Steve Kerr talk about his team on the defensive end and how they've improved over the course of the season.
Well, our rotations are better, and you know we felt coming into the season that we would be a good defensive team with our length and athleticism, and You know, the rotations are better. We're not giving up as much penetration. And that just makes the offense have to rush the shot a little bit. So, the first couple games, almost, I don't even count them. I mean, you know, that was, we weren't ready and we were kind of a mess. But since that time, our defense has gotten better. We still have a lot of work to do. But tonight, as I said, I thought it was our best overall effort of the year.
Yeah, so Gooey's saying the rotations have been better. The perimeter defense has been better. And I'm thinking of last night's game, and you think about Curry getting to the basket. I don't remember many Spurs getting to the basket, guys.
And if they tried, you know, it looked like they had the ball or they were one step away from creating the shot, Dibs, and guess what? The ball was knocked out of their hand, and the team in blue was going the other way. And, again, I know it's 13 games in, 14 games in, but that seems to be a trait that this team could get in the passing lanes. And if you put the ball on the floor, all of them, you know, got the ability to kind of knock the ball out the said player's hand, and they're going the other way.
If you get Wiggins to play as consistently as he has, and Oubre Jr. is a good defender, Draymond Green we know is all defensive first or second team threat year in and year out, and Wiseman showing an ability to block some shots, not so much on-ball blocks as coming over from the weak side. You see Oubre Jr. doing the same actively in help, so even when one of your guards gets beat, you have a feeling like there is some protection behind him.
Yeah, no, they had both areas covered. I don't remember a lot of Spurs getting into the paint on penetration. I remember, you know, DeRozan gets in there and he can take his mid-range, but he's not getting to the basket. Even DeJounte Murray, I don't really remember getting in there too much. So, you know, that's on Curry and that's on Oubre a lot of times. And so, the Warriors are, I mean, they put it all together last night. That's for darn sure. I want to get into some of this sound from last night, and let's listen to some Kelly Oubre. He was asked because Wiseman's the name of the game, at least he was last night. Here's Kelly Oubre on whether he's been surprised with James Wiseman.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. You know, he's an NBA player nonetheless. No matter what his experience is, we're trying to make him, you know, a great NBA player in this league. So we have to cut the margin for error down tremendously, you know, in order for him to just erase all doubt of people being surprised at what he can do. And, you know, it goes down the line. So, you know, we're all constantly just continually just push each other to be the best that we can be.
Yeah, I don't know how many doubters there are anymore, Goo. I mean, now I think it's just the kid can play. Isn't it just a matter of how good is he going to be at this point?
Yeah, and how much you want to feed him. You know, because Dibs talked about it yesterday. If you like the way Kerr's doing it now, or like me, if you're on that side of the street, you want to see him just, you know, if he's at four fouls, it's going to keep him out the game. You know, let him get to six. But there was a moment where he was hot. I think it was the first quarter, and Kerr took him out the game with 5 minutes left. And I'm saying to myself, Dibs, why would you take him out now? But I do understand, regardless of how good you're going, he has implemented a plan or a minute usage that he's not going to stray away from. And I'm talking about Kerr. But normally when you see guys kind of quote-unquote hot and things are going good, you know, if I was coaching, you kind of leave him out there to maximize that time. But to Kerr's credit, you know, Wiseman came off the court with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and I kind of text one of my buddies like, man, I wish he would have left him in.
But what do you mean by hot? Because one player's hot is not another player's hot. It's not like he was 4 of 5 from three-point land and he was taking fools off the dribble and he was sticking the 20-foot fadeaway. He was largely rim running.
You're right.
He was playing well in his spot, but I don't think that you look at that stretch of him being quote-unquote hot and think, well, if I take him out now, he's going to cool off. He won't be 7'1" when I put him back in there. I don't think that, you know, when Wiseman has it going and the team has it going, that's great, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to throw him out there for 36 minutes.
Stoney, real quick, that was a great comeback, Dibs, and I don't disagree with you, but where I'm going is – if we are psychoanalyzing this guy and so many things go wrong on a pass or him bobbling the ball, I just looked at it like, hey, right now, regardless of, and you're right, how he was getting the buckets, the lobs or whatnot, Steiny, if it's going your way and you're putting the ball in the hoop, however you're doing it, I kind of just thought, you know, let's expedite this to the end. You know, and right now it's going your way, per se, Dibs. And that's why I thought he should just should have remained out there a little longer.
I actually think it's more important to establish a rotation. And especially for a guy like Wiseman. I mean, you can basically tell James Wiseman, and I think this is what coaches love to do. Hey, James, you're going to play the first 6 minutes of the first quarter. Then you're going to come out and play the second quarter. Ideally, you know, we'll play you 6 minutes in the second quarter, but if you're playing well, then maybe that's when we'll extend you a little bit. But I think one thing that I bet you teams want to try to do with their rookies, Dibs, is give them something that they can count on at least every day rather than, oh, he's taken out after a mistake or now he's playing because he made three shots.
Yeah, it's called structure, and all of us who have been parents understand the importance of structure in all kids, especially younger kids. Bedtime is 8 o'clock, and at 7:45, you're in there brushing your teeth, and you're tucked in at 8, and we'll go to story time, and it's lights out at 8:15, and you set up these parameters, and young people thrive, and it's the same to your point about a young player, especially a rookie, even though he's going great, he played great, his best game as a pro. Doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to let him stay up till 10:30 because he got an A on it, you know, on his math
I like
test.
That, Dibs.
You got to keep the structure in place and let him grow naturally.
The hell with the kids.
Kind of, yeah. Steiny, I got to give him that. I'm kind of going against my argument, but my side of it. But I do like that. Oh, 8:15, you're in the bed. I like that, Dibs.
That's basically when I hit the sack every night. Tell you the truth, and I'm a grown up. So
you gotta be joking.
Yeah, no, I go to bed early. Good.
Wow. I love the young people.
Hey, Spadoni.
Wow. Steiny, I'm 1 or 2 o'clock, especially during the pandemic, man. I'm binge watching show. My mind is racing, you know? I'm like, you know. My dad always said when you go to sleep, you're practicing dying. You know, that was his old thing. So I kind of just try to map out my day or my week and what I can do better for the children and the wife and myself. I don't know. I can't turn the lights off early. I don't know what that is about me. I'm nocturnal.
You don't like, what time do you go up into bed?
About average, probably about 12:45, 1:30.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I got
lights out at 9, Steiny.
I got about
lights
4
out at
hours
nine.
In me at that point.
Goodness, wow.
That's right. Usually when I'm making my second bathroom trip, to borrow from Dibs.
Yeah.
So, oh, boy. Let's listen to some Steph Curry because he was on his game last night in a big way. Everybody seemed to feed off of him. Let's listen to Steph Curry on whether or not he thought it was the team's best game of the year.
I think tonight was just a sign of maturity in terms of putting – we obviously didn't play well in the first half of the LA game. We played well in the second half and then carried that momentum into tonight's game. And we always talk about the good teams can show it from time to time. But, you know, when you're working towards being a great team, you have sustained excellence on both ends of the floor. Tonight was that. Like I said, we made it easy on ourselves by, you know, making them work on their offensive end for them and making them take tough shots, rebounding. And then that's when you get the best flow that, you know, you turn stops into easy possessions. And you know, you build a lead early and everybody's feeling good, jumping around, the energy's great. So that means a lot. So we gotta again bottle that up back to back, bring it tomorrow and protect our home court as we try to, you know, string some wins together, you know, early in the season.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking last night, so they got up 35-18 at the end of the with about 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and I think by the end of the first quarter the lead might have been down to 13 or 12, then it got down to 5. He was talking about jumping around. Everybody was jumping around. They, like, this team was excited late in the first quarter. I almost thought at one point they got a little too excited trying to get cute. And I was thinking, man, are they good enough to get a little too cute with a lead? And then it got to 5, and then the next thing you know, they went on another run, and by halftime it was over. So I guess There was nothing wrong with getting a little excited early in that game, Dibs.
Yeah, I'm going to forgive it, too, because there's no fans. There's no adrenaline lift from the crowd when Steph goes through his legs behind his back and steps back half a step and puts one in somebody's face. You don't have 19,000 at Chase going bananas. You've got eight dudes in masks jumping around waving towels, and that's about it. So I give the players this year in particular a wider berth for over-celebrating, especially early on in the game, because that's all you've got in the arena.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was wondering if that – I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think about it that way, but I guess that is one way to look at it. They still are, at the end of the day, playing in an empty gym, and you got to kind of create your own atmosphere there, Goo.
And Frank Isola earlier was talking about how Denver was a team that thrived in the bubble, and they're a team that came back from 2-3-1 deficits and – LeBron benefited by not having to travel, and how much of that of this year, no fans, helps the road team, not only because it tends to even out the officiating. The close calls won't go to the home team because 19,000 people aren't screaming, blank the ref, but also the very nature of the comfort of playing on the road. It's easier without a road crowd.
And that's what prompted me to ask Isola that, Dibs and Steiny, is I'm looking at the – and I'm making no excuses for Dallas and Denver, but two teams that had great runs in the bubble and for whatever reason, and they may get back to those plateaus in the next week or two, but I'm looking at them like, you know, no excuses. Is it a hangover or, you know, is there some type of an adjustment from last year in the bubble, which wasn't too long ago, as to now? But I got to bring this up because you know I love Steph more than anybody. And we kind of went in passionately on the three-point foul. I got the game on. I'm watching Murray, who didn't do anything to Steph. He put his hand up. But I guess what he did was he got in Steph's space because Steph drew I don't know if you remember the play, a foul, shot three shots, and I was sitting there like, that's the play. And we love you, Chef, but that's the play I'm talking about. What did Murray do wrong to get the foul, Steiny? He didn't jump. His feet were on the floor, and he had his hand up, but yet he got called for it.
Well, you guys were talking about executive orders earlier because, you know, we got a new president signing executive orders. And if you had the opportunity to sign sports executive orders, what would you sign? And Dibs brought up earlier in soccer, he'd move the penalty kick line back about 6 yards. Goo said wants to get rid of points after touchdown. My thing is, and maybe this is too harsh, but I'm ready to get rid of the three-point line. They'll never
in its
do
entirety?
It. Yeah, they'll I never know. Do it, but it's got to be addressed. I think there's a far too great an imbalance right now between. Big guys have never been less important, and the reason is, and interior play has never been less important, and posting up has never been less important, and. I just think you got to try to start balancing out the game because it's continuing to go the other way. It's continuing now to have, can we get 5 3-point shooters on the floor? I just think, you know, the game was invented. The goal of the game was to get easy shots, to get shots as close to the basket as possible. And we're living in an age now where the best shot is the farthest shot you can take from the basket. I just think you got to balance it out a little more. Maybe it's not eliminating the line entirely. I don't know what you do. Maybe I'd bump it out another foot or two so that the percentages come down a little. I'd take away the corner three. I just think we got to get a little more balance in the game, Goo. That's all.
I like it, you know, and I look at baseball. The home run is more prevalent now and the strikeout, Dibs, than it's ever been. And some could say that it's hurt the game and it's boring. I missed the stolen base, but analytics, I don't know, is analytics the culprit of that? But I look at football and I'm thinking, there you go. They still got that balance that they had when I was a kid. Now, do they pass more than they used to? Maybe just a little, but nothing is out of control like the three-pointer in hoop and the home run and strikeout in baseball.
Well, baseball, they have no interest in changing it, and it's the same in basketball. Baseball now, you ever watch a pitcher throw over to first, they balk almost every time because you're supposed to, with your front foot, you're not supposed to be able to go toward home plate at all. You're supposed to make a definitive move to first. So you can't try to steal because pitchers will keep you close to the bag because they're allowed to balk every single time. And plus, if you get thrown out, you're depriving a guy of a chance to hit that home run with a ball that's harder than usual, smaller fences, and harder bats than ever. For the three-pointer, it's a simple fix. You just widen the court, and you make the three-pointer, the corner three in particular, you make it a real shot. Instead of it being, 22 feet in the corner and 23.9 out high, it might be 22.6 in the corner. I don't know the exact numbers, but you widen the court, and you make it a real tougher shot to begin with, and that will bring the three-point percentage or the three-point attempts and the percentages both down.
Yeah, what I understand, there's a difficulty in widening the court because of the arenas. Like every arena is built specifically for. It wouldn't seem to be that difficult, but you'd have to mess with the first row of seats. You'd have to mess with, I don't know. My understanding is it's just not quite as easy to pull that off, even though it's a logical, a logical thing to do. We could have some fun with this at 888-957-9570. If you could do a sports executive order, what would you do? What would you change in sports? What would you get rid of or something? What rule would you make? 888-957-9570. Trying to think of some of the things I would do in football. I think one of you guys the other night said, I like this one, 15 yards maximum pass interference. I can't remember if that was you, Goo, or Dibs, but I kind of like that one. I don't like the 50-yard pass down to the goal line and then they get the ball to one, Dibs.
Yeah, 15, you cap it at 15. It takes away the thrown up for grabs PI call that, it turns out to be 40 yards when it was a close call, close play. Those big penalties can really turn a game when they happen in pass interference.
That's my boy. I love he's starting. Because, look, I was going to say this, and I'm going to sound selfish. From a spectator, and I'll call myself a fan because that's what I am, when I watch the game, I don't want to see the damn coach in the in-game interviews and the interviewee or We'll do that after. Let the coaches tank, and then they do split screen so you can't get the whole – I'm watching the game, but now this box has got the game has got smaller because they're asking these tedious questions that the guy's going to have to answer, the coaches are, after the game. Let's leave that – who benefits from that?
The viewer benefits at times if the coach has something good to say. I mean, you could say the viewer benefits – because it's fun to watch Greg Popovich make a jerk out of somebody. I will say this. I think the interviews have been better since the pandemic, if for no other reason than, I don't know, there's a lot of more important stuff going on, so maybe you don't want to be a jerk.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Yeah, that's Greg Popovich at his best right there on the sideline interview between the first and the third quarter. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got some people that want to get in here. Muhammad in San Francisco. What's going on, Muhammad? What would you change?
Yeah, I want to make an executive order on about the passing line of scrimmage.
Okay.
When a quarterback on the line of scrimmage, that should be, considered passing across the line of scrimmage because, that's really dumb. It shouldn't be just 2 feet behind the line of scrimmage. It should be if you step 1 foot across the line of scrimmage, that should be a penalty,
Isn't it? Thanks for the call.
It just matters where the ball is, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, as long as you're, you have the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and that's ultimately where it comes down to just a bang bang call for the officials.
Leroy in Oakland.
Our God.
Leroy might want to pardon somebody.
Yeah. Hey,
good luck trying
what's
to
up, guys,
72
man. My
people.
Favorite sports show, man. I would tell
Thanks,
you guys
Leroy.
Are fantastic. Listen, I got two things real quick. One
is I am so tired of all the players and everyone looking up at the jumbo screen every time there's a foul, every time there's a pass interference. In all sports, do away with the replay on the jumbo screen. It just works the fans up because they think they saw something that they didn't. The player thinks he sees something that he didn't. They're jumping up and down screaming, going, no, I didn't foul him. No, I didn't touch him. So do away with the replay on the jumbo screen.
I like that one. You want to pardon somebody? No, Leroy. No, I like that one. In fact, you know what I was thinking about is, let's say you're a running back and, you know, you're down at your own 10-yard line. You get a handoff. You break it down the sidelines. You start – if you look up at the screen, you can give yourself an advantage because you can see if somebody's coming behind you. And, you know, I've always thought that. It's like, oh, you can just kind of look up and see if a guy's on your tail or not. I don't know. Maybe it was the only guy who thought of that. Antonio.
Maybe.
Antonio in Oakland. What's going on, Antonio?
Oh, good. As far as the rule I would change is the touchback out of the end zone, you know, and then it goes to the other team on the, you know, it goes to them. It's like, come on now. Like, why do I got to lose the ball? And then you get placed on the 20. It's like, it's almost like losing your keys and somebody finds your keys. You know, they don't get to keep your car. You know what I'm saying? They don't get to keep your car and your keys. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But that's just my opinion.
Well, I like that. Yeah. Wow.
I'll tell you what, Antonio. That's gonna keep you on our good side for a while. It's
Never heard it put quite that way. But, you know, if you fumble your keys and if you leave your keys in your car, you might get stolen, you know?
Leroy got me thinking of the player that is yelling at his coach, demonstrative, like, you better challenge. And then you see the replay, like, boy, you fumbled that ball. But they're looking at the coach, putting pressure on him, like, their relationship might be messed up if the coach doesn't, like, you don't believe me or trust me. And you see the replay. It's like, dude, come on. You committed the infraction.
I'm with Leroy on that one. I have a vision of LeBron doing that all the time. He always looks up to see it, see the play out again.
Let Spadoni hear that. Yeah,
that's all right. Yeah. I like, you know, one thing. I like LeBron James. Not crazy about when he. I'm not crazy about when anybody does that. All right, Ryan. Ryan's at Fremont. What's going on, Ryan? How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, I had an idea with the 3-point line. Why don't you keep it? Why couldn't you keep it 23-9? And then where it goes out of bounds, it goes out of bounds. You don't have to widen the court.
You know what? They do have courts like that, and that's another way to do it. Basically, you just eliminate a corner three-pointer. There's just no – if you're in the deep corner, it's not a three. What do you mean, oh, no?
I'm trying to think of the – I refereed in the middle school league in the East Bay. It was a league of – Christian schools. I don't know if it was Fremont Christian. Might have been the one in Castro Valley that's escaping me. But the three-point line, it just goes away, Goo.
Exactly.
You get down below the foul line, and you get down near the corner. Now, this is 19-9, so we're talking about small court that's much more like a cafeteria or a courtaterium, as I like to call them, all but a tile floor. And the three-point line, it just goes away in the corner.
Yeah, it just vanishes. You don't like that, Goo?
You know, and I know you said you want to do away with the three, and I'm just like, where these guys are shooting from now, I don't even think moving it back would have an impact. And you look at a team like San Antonio, I don't even know where they are shooting the ball, but I watched the teams like the Hornets, the poor shooting three teams, but they play just like the best shooting three teams. And I'm like, is that analytics telling them to keep throwing the threes at their problem? Guess what? You're not good at it. Do something else, but – we're in that era where they're letting them fly. It's just something to, I guess, the chicks dig the long ball or the three ball, too, in the NBA.
If you would move it to 25 feet uniformly, let's just say you widen the court by 3 feet each side, and so even the corner of the three is a 25-footer. Now, all of a sudden, your garden variety average shooters, they're not going to shoot it. You know, guys like you're big, you're power forward. LaMarcus Aldridge isn't shooting 4 threes a game if it's at 25. Now, if you got that little gimme corner three, that's an invitation to anybody. So if you did make it further back, it would kind of go back to the days of the specialty three, look at some of Steve Kerr's box scores from his time with the Bulls. He might go 2 for 3 from three, and the team might go 4 of 9 for the game. So the three-pointer was a specialized thing, much like the home run, Goo. It used to be your cleanup hitter could hit homers, your number five hitter probably, maybe your number three hitter if you were a good team, but everyone else was trying to get on base. And yeah.
Earl
the same
Weaver.
Thing with the three, yeah.
What about Earl Weaver?
He would have Eddie Murray and all the guys that three-run bomb, the guys that could do it, you know, they'd go swing for the fences, but not, you know, your eighth-place hitter and even the pitcher nowadays. Everybody, they ain't nothing. We know something's up with that ball. I'll leave that there. But, yeah, it's a whole different era right now.
So, like, Boog Powell, he would swing for the fences, right?
Where's he batting in the lineup?
Probably fifth.
Gone!
Bobby Grich. Bobby Grich.
Oh, okay.
Bobby Grich had like 27 homers one year.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. You know, Paul Blair, Kenny Singleton. Yeah, I probably don't want them. Probably don't want them hitting the long ball. Let's go
it's
out.
Impressive. Your knowledge of 1970s Baltimore Orioles is wow. It's impressive.
Yeah, Mark Belanger at short.
Yeah,
Brooks Robinson at third.
Lost to the Pirates in the World Series.
Catcher was catcher on that team.
You got to Google it.
Yeah, we'll go to Steve in South City.
Thank you.
Steve wants to talk about executive orders. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show. Executive order, promotion and relegation in the MLB gets those small market teams a chance to, like, play on the big stage.
Which sport? All sports?
Baseball.
Baseball. Dibs, you're a big relegation guy.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun to see the Toledo Mudhens travel to Dodger Stadium for interleague play. And if you're a team that stinks in Major League Baseball, you're going to have to feel the sting a little bit. Instead of just being bad and being bad for weeks on end, you got to fight tooth and nail to avoid relegation. I love it.
I mean, it would be an incentive, that's for sure. It's from the text line. 650 says, guys, I just started listening today. Because I'm at work, but as anybody mentioned that Guru got the score of the Sharks game last night, he said 2-1, and they won 2-1. Did you get the score exactly right,
yeah.
Guru?
Yeah, 2-1. I told you that in the beginning of the show. Remember I told you, don't
Dang.
Forget that.
When's our next game, Guru?
I'll have to check the schedule.
Okay, I'd love for you to make a prediction on the next game. See if people can use you to win some money off you. A couple other good ones here. Steiny, if you look at the way the stadiums are set up now, I don't think baseline seats in the NBA are ever coming back. Nobody will come 20 feet to any player for at least the next few seasons. What do you think of that, Dibs?
Well, it's just one of those things where the money is such that man, those seats are so valuable. You think about security. First of all, a security problem. Imagine if somebody from a courtside seat decided to just step forward and dive at LeBron James's legs as he's running up the court. This is no laughing matter. I'm stunned that you find this to be so funny.
I thought of Larry Date, curb your enthusiasm, but go ahead. Yeah,
so the security, the risk of having fans courtside is one thing. Plus, what we've all come to learn about germs and how germs are spread, forget just COVID-19, all germs. And then the fact that these people are all, they've got beverages that are spilling. It just seems like a bit of a cluster down there. But then again, you think about Joe Lacob seats and what those seats would be worth. Courtside at Chase for 41 games. You're talking about, what, $500,000 a seat? Maybe $1 million a seat? That is huge. Huge money. So there's a couple of competing factors in this conversation.
Yeah, I want to say Dibs.
Chicken,
I want to say Dibs.
Man,
I the best seat in the house. I gotta believe at the. You're right, Dibs. At Staples Center's. Yeah, I wonder what that is. Maybe 10,000, and then you multiply that by 40. That's 400,000. Be interesting to find out. GV's in San Francisco's got a rule change.
What's going on, fellas? Love the show. I just got a little rule change. If they make a shot in basketball, if you make a shot from past half court, I think it should be worth 4 points.
Phil Jackson rule. Thanks for the call. Phil Jackson thinks there's going to be four-pointers in the NBA at some point.
Why the extra point? What
why the extra point for a three?
Because a bucket is two, and it's a further shot, and the three is the three. But why do we need the four? Yeah,
because a shot beyond half court is harder than a three-pointer. Why don't you make that one four?
Pretty soon, there'll be directed plays where the guy's shooting the ball behind the half. Well, that's backcourt, so we won't see that.
408 says I'd get rid of the franchise tag in the NFL. 925 saying Elrod Hendricks and Andy Etchebarren. That's right. Andy Etchebarren was on those Baltimore Oriole teams. I'd forgot about this. Here's one for you, Dibs. 510 says, do like soccer, no live replay. Do like
yeah,
soccer.
Yeah, although no live, they do live have replay now. So,
oh, they do?
Yeah, VAR, video assisted referee. They will
Wow, VAR study.
Yeah, it's called VAR. That's what they do. Video assisted replay. So if there's an infraction, they're going to look at it. If there's a dangerous play, they look at it for a possible red card violation. Soccer has fallen prey to the instant replay generation.
Stoddy, beverage cart and VAR all in one week, boy.
Nice. And we still have a day to go, Goo. Should be fun.
I love it.
All right.
VAR.
All right, we got to go. Coming up, Michael Rapaport coming up with Damon Ratto and Kolsky at 3:30. He'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!